Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
As you take your seat, go with me to Hebrews in the first chapter. In Hebrews, the first chapter and verse number 4, we're going to just concentrate a little bit longer. We were there last week. Before I give you the title of the message, I'll read to you verse number 4. Verse 4 of the first chapter of Hebrews says these words, having become so much better than the angels. If you remember that last week, the preeminence of Christ. An amazing message. If you didn't get it, you didn't hear it, don't miss it. If I have to give it to you, I'll give it to you. But there's CDs, or you can go online, download them free. We don't care. And then it goes on in verse number 4. It says, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, speaking of the angels. I want to talk to you about this verse. I'm going to bring you back to it because the title of this message is In the Name Above All. There's a name that is above all names that you're associated with that backs you and supports you. A name that opens doors that cannot be opened and closes doors that cannot be closed. A name that you as a Christian, if you don't understand the depth of it, won't realize the importance of it. Let me make an expression to you, and I want you to listen to what I say. The Word of God makes it very clear that the truth shall make you and set you free. The truth sets you free. Didn't say error would set you free. Didn't say assumptions would set you free. Didn't say good intentions would set you free. Didn't say because you call yourself a Christian and go to church every week that you'll get set free. But truth shall set you or make you free. Nothing else. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one truth, not what you think or what I think or what you feel, not your ideologies or my philosophies or your philosophies or your ideologies or philosophies. It doesn't matter. That won't set you free, even though you call yourself a Christian. What sets you free is the truth. And I am grateful that every time we get together here at the Rock Church, the Word of God is opened up. Not a man's ideas, not some comical game, but the Word of God is opened up that we could evaluate what God is saying. And in the Bible, His Word, there is truth. It explains the very character, nature, and attributes of God. It explains the very will and plan of God. And when you take the truth, God's word, hear me now, and you apply it in your life, in every area of your life will set you free. If you apply what you think or what someone told you, if you apply what you hope is truth and it isn't, it won't work. It doesn't say, like I said, good intentions shall set you free. But the truth, when you put it into application in your life. That's why you and I have got to understand that God wants us free in every area. Not just spiritually free. Sometimes we'll hear that and understand that God wants us spiritually free. We're in agreement about that. But it's more than just spiritual freedom. We're talking about freedom in your marriage when you apply truth to it. We're talking about freedom raising your children when you apply truth to it. We're talking about freedom in your job, your business, your finances, freedom from fears and insecurities, freedom that keeps you free to do the things that God would have you do instead of operating in those strongholds that keep you in bondage. And the way to get out of them is not just being a Christian, but applying truth in your life, in every area of your life. If you don't know the truth, you'll just do something. And that's why we take the Word of God and we look at it like we do, slowly, but it's so good, it's unbelievable. And this word that we're reading about here, we see that Jesus, above the angels, has a better name than any angel. In fact, the whole context of this wonderful text called Hebrews, the whole context of it is simply this, that Jesus is above everything. Jesus has got to be above your ideologies and philosophies about angels. Jesus is above the prophets, above the religious works and traditions of men. Jesus is above the, if you will, the temple. Jesus is above everything. He is the preeminent Christ. He's above, better, beyond, and greater than anything else. And when you come to know that, now watch me, listen to me. And when you come that that's settled inside of your heart, and now you believe that, your God becomes a big God. And the bigger your God is, the greater you will move in faith, believing Him in circumstances that you can't figure out, you don't know how are going to work, you don't know how it's going to make it. And the question is this, by knowing who He is, His character, His nature, His attributes, knowing what His name means, you will find yourself growing in faith, believing the truth, and changing the world that you live in. And without that understanding of the reason why we go to the Word of the Lord, you'll just come to church thinking it's not important. Go to any church, go anywhere, do whatever you want. It's not true. We come into this place because God's doing something on the inside of us, building truth that'll set us free in every area of our life. And here we find that the name that Jesus has is so much greater than any angel. There's a lot in the names. By the way, you'll find that biblical names have a lot to say. And a lot of times we don't understand that because we today name our kids whatever sound good, whatever cultural experience there is. We name our children after our relatives. We don't name our children after who they are and what they stand for and what they will do. We name our children over slogans and expressions that are just something that fits with the flow of society. But in the days of the Word of God, the name meant something. It meant who He was and what He did. It meant something big and dynamic. It told the character and the attributes of what that person was and what he could do. Like, for an example, the name Jesus. In the Hebrew, the name is Joshua. And it really means God is salvation. So when God comes to Mary, if you will, and God comes to Joseph and says, there's going to be one born and you're to call his name Jesus, what they were saying is this, is he is the one that's going to be the Savior to his people. And there's a lot in the name. And so many of us know about the name Jesus, hear it and take it for just what it is, something unimportant, like a period at the end of a sentence. In other words, oftentimes we'll talk to God, and instead of putting a period at the end of the sentence, we'll use a little slogan that we use in the name of Jesus, and it doesn't mean anything. It comes off of our lips, but it doesn't come from the depth of our heart, and it never changes anything. Because the name of Jesus is not a period to how you talk to God. The name of Jesus is something that changes the world that you live in, that you are associated with. Without an understanding of that, we fail. Moses comes and he's leading the children of Israel out of bondage, and he meets up with God. And God says, go deliver my children from Pharaoh. Moses looks at God and says, God, I don't understand. What the children of Israel are not going to follow me. Who should I tell them? What's your name tell them what your name is that you told me to do this? And you'll find this in Exodus 3rd chapter, starting about verse number 13. And you'll find that God speaks back to him and he says, my name? Tell him I am. What a funny name, I am. I am is because he is. I am because I am your breath. I am your life. I'm the one that holds it all together. I'm your power. I'm your source. I'm your sustaining power. I'm the one that delivers. I'm the one that heals. I'm the one that'll take care of you. I'm the one who'll provide for you. I'm the one that'll protect you. I am the great I am. And he could only say what he was. And that was his name. And if we look at the name of Jesus as just a name, and even though we know it is meaning salvation to the people, but don't understand the depth of that salvation, when it comes time for us to approach the throne of grace in boldness, like it says in Hebrews the 4th chapter, we won't approach the throne of grace in boldness. We will come like little wimps before God because we don't know who backs us that opens and closes the doors that we need to life. All of us need to realize this is important. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, and starting in verse number 9, if you want to turn there in your Bible. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 9, it makes this statement in verse 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. You see the names? See that expression, above every name? I mean, there's no name equal to his. Not a name on the planet, not an expression that you have that comes out of your mouth, out of your heart, out of your intellect. There is absolutely no name whatsoever that you could express that's anywhere close to the name of who he is and what he can do than that name of Jesus. And verse number 10 comes along. It says that that name that every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. He is the name that every, I don't care who they are, I don't care if they don't believe in God at all, every knee. Not some. Even the ones that say, I don't believe, guess what? Their knee will bow. Verse 11 comes along, makes this statement, and it goes on. It says, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on earth and heaven. But verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Revelation, he comes back in the book of Revelation as he's coming. His name is written on his robe, which tells of his position and his authority. And it's a funny thing that it says his name is also written. Look at me now. Look at me now. Look at me now. His name is written on his thigh. Why would he write it on his robe that expresses his authority? And then why would it be on his thigh? The thigh moves the whole body in battle and what it does. The thigh is, so if your thighs are strong, everything else is strong. Speaks of his strength. Revelation, put it up there. Let's check it out. 19th chapter, verse number 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Not just King, not just Lord, King of any king, Lord of all. Those that call themselves Lord. Because there's no name above that name of Jesus. That name by which can change your entire existence. And deliver you into complete freedom. In every area of your life as you apply the truth. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, writing this prophetically. 9th chapter, verse number 6. Let's put it up on the overhead. Let me show you. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Now I want you to see this next part. And the government will be upon his shoulders. You know what that means? That means the ruler of the universe. The manager of life. The government shall be upon, not just the government of an organization, not the government of the United States, but the government that holds life together and the direction of life is on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But I stopped and I thought about that, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. His name. Do you see the name? You ought to circle it, Wonderful. It means he's full of wonder. Wonder is that which goes beyond your calculations. Goes beyond anything you can imagine. Wonder is that that goes beyond human expectations. What I mean by that, I can expect something to happen and it won't be a wonder to me. But when something happens that happens that is so I can't explain it, that's a wonder. And he doesn't just have wonder, he is full of wonder. And if you're facing tomorrow and not know how you're going to make it, may I tell you something? The one who is full of wonder beyond human expectations, that doesn't do things according to how you think and I think. He does things according to what he, the name, can do. It's beyond the expectations of men. We stop at the calculated expectations of men. We believe that this is the way it is. We see it how it's going to fit. We want it to fit a certain way. Have you ever noticed God's not held back by that? Somehow I can say, God, this is the way it ought to be. This is the way it should happen. This is the way it happened. And I can think of 1,000 ways something will happen. And it's 1,001 that God does. One I never thought of. That's called wonder. Circle the next word in your Bible. His name is Counselor. Do you know what that means? One who gives wise direction. I can have direction in my life and fail by taking the wrong direction or not doing the direction. I can get some wise direction on how to do life from the world. You know, there's a lot of people out there that write a lot of books, tell us how to do life. They want to tell you how to do things all the time. But I'm here to tell you something interesting. I want you to know something. Unless you get wise direction, you'll end up in the wrong place blaming God for the failures in your life. But when you get wise directions and you follow wise direction, the truth shall set you free. Wise direction, Counselor. I love the next name, Mighty God. Not just God. Mighty God. There is no power that is equivalent to his. There's no earthly power. There's no financial power. There's no political power. There's no numerical power. There's a power in heaven that comes on your behalf that is a mighty God in his name. And then I love the next part, Everlasting Father. Now, I don't know if you understand what he just said, but the word everlasting means forever. Or another word for everlasting is eternal. The word father describes something wonderful. It describes comfort. That's what a father's to do. Provisions, protection. That's what a father's to do. Now, some of you don't have fathers. You didn't know that. But a real father comes along and he cares about making his family comfortable. He comes along and he makes his family protected. And he makes his family with provisions. That's what a father does. Now you take that and say, that's great. Maybe we have provisions and comfort and protection for a season. As long as my husband or wife has a job. Maybe we have it just for a short period of time, but here it's completely different. It's eternal. In other words, God doesn't give up on his position as being the one who will comfort you, provide for you, and protect you. The next part of his name comes up and it's Prince of Peace. I don't know if that means anything to you, but stop and think about it. All your life, you work for one word. Did you know that? The word's peace. You know what you do? You go get an education so you can get a good job. Why? So you can have good money. Why? So you can have the money and go on vacation. Why? That someday you can retire, then drive around in a motorhome and everybody flip you off on the freeway because you're an old person going too slow. You know what I'm talking about. We're always looking for peace. We work for peace. We build our businesses for peace. We get education for peace. We're looking for peace constantly. And all the time, the Prince of Peace is right there with you. Every day. Eternally with you. Every day. You can draw from the Prince of Peace. No matter what the situation is. No matter what the problem is. So let me define what his name represents. This. All wonderful, all wisdom, all power, all eternal comfort, protection, provision, and peace. You ought to write that down. You ought to put it down and memorize it every day. When the world wants to dump and vomit its garbage on you and tell you you're not going to make it, or tell you you're facing a problem, you don't know how it's going to work out. But I'm here to tell you there's a name, and that name is above every name. I guess the question at this point, what comes because of the name? I mean, if you and I that are born of the Spirit of God have that name backing us, opening the doors that no man can open, closing the doors no man can close. Mighty God, all powerful, all wisdom, all wonder, all eternal comfort and provision and peace and protection. Then what for you and I can we expect as Christians? If we don't understand this, what we do is we pray, we talk to God, and the name of Jesus becomes the period at the end of your sentence. And it's about as important to people as the period is at the end of the sentence. God this, God that, I'm God this, God that, in the name of Jesus. I just put the period in instead of it coming from the depths of the heart with the meaning of who he is and what it is, because it's by faith that you're going to change the world that you live in. There's nobody going to fly around with a magic wand. If you want Tinkerbell, you'll find her at Disneyland. And her magic that she does and her little sprinkles of gold dust doesn't fall on you and change the world. But God has equipped you with a name that can change the world that you live in. Create a future that you never dreamed of. And build a direction that'll honor the Lord for eternity. If you incorporate that name from the depths of your heart and not from the lips of your mouth. That's why the bigger you know who God is, the greater your God is. So when the devil comes up and smacks you in the head and says you're not going to make it, you can say, I don't think I'm going to bow my knee to that. I live in the presence of his name. Watch this. What comes because of the name? Number one, salvation. You've got to understand that there's no other name that's upon this planet that you can get saved. And someone needs to tell you, we're living in this pluralistic world right now where all the gods are okay and you just accept whatever one you want to, and that's fine if you want to. But I want you to know here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, there's only one God and his name is Jesus. And there is no other name that you can get saved by, but you will not get saved by Buddha. You will not get saved by Mohammed. You will end up going to hell, but there's one name, and that name is the name of Jesus that is above all. Now here's the deal. If that offends you, goodbye. Because I am not changing the truth. Jesus is talking himself. In Luke 24, chapter verse number 27, he says these words in 24, chapter verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, speaking of Jesus, to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Because without that name, you and I can't get saved. Don't kid yourself. You can't get saved by your good works. You can't get saved by your good looks. You can't get saved because you're highly educated. You can't get saved because you fit into society or social system. You can't get saved because you give to your neighbor. You can't get saved because you're a neat person, nice person, accepted person. You can't get saved because you're popular with the people. You get saved because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody in this day and age needs to stand up. And I'm not here to bash anybody else. Go do your thing. But we in this church will serve the Lord according to truth. Is anybody listening? What comes because of his name? Number two, prayer. You're not even going to get prayer done until you start realizing it's the confidence behind the prayers that make the difference. Not confidence in you, confidence in him. That he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the expressed image of the Father. My confidence is in a God who cannot fail. I can fail. I can lose. I can give up. I can quit. But my God, he will not fail. He will not give up, nor will he quit. In John, the 14th chapter, verse number 13, Jesus says these words, whatever you ask in my name, I love that, I will do. I'm not talking about just using the name like a little formula, like we wave a magic wand over something. Traditionally, we pray and throw out the name of Jesus in the name. But when that name comes from the depths of your heart, fervently, it changes the world, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want you to know that eliminates right there all stupid prayers that aren't going to get answered. We're talking about what comes because of his name. Number three, life. You can have existence on this planet. You could be educated, have lots of money, have a home, have a family. At the end of your life, look at yourself and say, most people do that don't have God, my life is empty. I have no life. Because you're going to die and leave this planet. It won't be long before people forget who you are. A couple of generations from now, no one will even know who you are. No one will ever remember you. But when you have life, eternal life, it goes on. And the only source of life there is in the name of Jesus. In John, the 20th chapter, verse 31, but these are written to those that may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Jesus said, I haven't come except to give you life and give it more abundantly, John 10:10. Abundantly life. Debbie and I look at each other, two of the biggest losers life has ever known, got together, and as the greatest losers that life has ever known, we said one thing: we're going to serve God all the days of our life. Whatever it takes, we're going to serve God. Whatever spot God has us in, we'll do. I'd never dreamt in a million years I would be the pastor of a great church like this. Never dreamt in a million years that God would use me in the lives of people. I was happy washing toilets. I was happy cleaning the carpets. After all, that's about where my mind was. I was a nothing. God couldn't use me, but I just said, God, I will. And when Deborah and I said we will and we'll live our life by God, God saw that we were serious, and God now brings life. Now we have a marriage that's better now, today, after all of these years. And I can truthfully say I think she's better looking today than she was when I married her. And I love her more today. And I know she loves me more today than when we first got married. 10 grandchildren, 11 of them, with a soon 11th one being born. 4 kids, all of them serving God. I want you to know something, that's real wealth. Forget the cheap money stuff. That's real wealth. And that's life. Which brings us what you can have because of his name. Number 4, power. I need power. In a world that's full of decay, in a world that right is wrong and wrong is right, in a world that you can't even watch television without hearing the F word 50 times, in a world that today we accept things that 15 years ago were repulsive to our souls, today we accept it as if it's normal. In a world that's gone wrong, I need the power of God to stay on track and to stay with God. And so do you. Every day we ought to tap into the name because of the mighty God and the power that He's the one that can make it all work. I need His power. We find that Peter and John are entering into the temple. There's a guy begging for money. They call it alms in the Bible, A-L-M-S. Peter makes a statement to him because he doesn't have any money. 3rd chapter, verse 6 of Acts, if you want to go there with me. 3rd chapter, verse 6 says this, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have,'" I love this, "'but what I do have, but what I do have,'" do you understand that you have it too? "'But what I do have, I give you.'" Here it is. "'In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk.'" He rose and walked at the very moment. Now I want you to know something, guys. That's power. Number 5, what comes because of the name is healing. Yep, he's the healer. There are physicians on this planet, and we thank God for every one of them. But they are not the healers. Jesus is the healer. They can only put you together. They can only help speed up the healing process that God does. He's the healer. He is not a physician. He's a healer. There's a man healed in Acts, the 3rd chapter, this time in verse number 16. And the people were astonished. And these words come from Peter, and it says these words, and his name, verse number 16, "And in his name, through faith in his name," very clear, "has made this man strong, whom you see and you know." It's the same thing today. God can heal you of whatever situation. God can heal your marriage, heal your life, heal your physical body, heal your economic condition. He can set you free in every area of your life because he's the healer. He's even the economic healer. He's even the social healer. He's also the mental healer. He's a physical healer. He can heal anything. And it says right there, his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. It's the same thing that'll happen with you. What comes because of his name? Number 6, authority. I don't know about you, when families are failing, marriages are failing, people losing their houses, devil's robbing your finances, robbing your children, robbing your love, robbing your heart, you need to take authority. If you don't know you have the authority, you'll never take the authority. But God's given you the authority in the name. In other words, you don't have to put up with that bull any longer. You can tell the devil to go to hell, where he belongs. You don't have to have your life robbed. You don't have to have your past ruin your future. You can take authority over it all in the name of Jesus. You can put it down and tell it to go. Get away from my wife. Get away from my husband. Get away from my children. Get away from my finances. Get away from my job. In the name of Jesus, you rotten thing, go. In Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 18, talks about Paul, the apostle, how he's preaching the gospel. This woman comes up. Boy, it's really a weird verse. She's saying these things about them while they're preaching the gospel. You know what she's saying? She's saying good things. These men you ought to listen to because they're of God the Most High. And they'll lead you to salvation. Man, that's good stuff. I'd have made her an elder. Paul picks up that she's got a demon and casts the demon right out of her. Just pop it up on the overhead. Check it out. Let's take a look. 16, verse 18. And this she did many days. She was telling him how great they were. But Paul, greatly annoyed, something inside of him knew there was something wrong, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you. I command you. What is it? You're plaguing your family. What's stopping you from being what God's called you to be? What strongholds are in your life that are holding you back? Listen. You need to take authority. Like this. I command you in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. Or maybe it's get away. Leave. God said what I bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what I loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Go now in Jesus' name. Most people that attend American churches have no idea that in the name that they associate with, they have authority like that over demons. Most have no concept. They let the demons beat the crap out of them all day long. You say, Pastor, did you say crap? Oh, yes. I did. If it bothers you, too bad. I'm too old to care. And I'm not letting that happen in my life, and I'm not, as a pastor of this church, letting it happen in your life. What comes because of the name? Last one is gratefulness. There's no way you can be anything but grateful. Worship Him and thankful for what He's done because the name has moved so much in your life. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, gratefulness. Here are seven things. Number one, what comes because of the name? Salvation. Number two, prayer power. Number three, real life. Number four, real power from the mighty God to stop whatever's coming against you. Number five, healing in every area of your life. Number six, authority over everything in your life. Number seven, gratefulness. Now, go back with me to Hebrews, first chapter. In fact, let's pop it up on the overhead. Verse 4 says these words, and it makes sense. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than any angel. Now, that's what's being said. And if God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise. Thank you, Jesus. Whew.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.